It is a joy to once again welcome Warren Smith here to this pulpit. Warren was here back in November. Many of you remember the Wide as the Gate conference that we held, and Warren had come down this week to do a very similar conference for Pastor Martin Arriola and the Calvary Chapel West church, and that was this Thursday and Friday. So we certainly were glad to have Warren be available to come and be with us again today. I want to mention that we in the church face a tremendous battle in these last days. It isn't just a matter of knowing what's going on in the Middle East, though that is very important. The battle rages actually within, and the battle is a battle for truth. So I'm thankful that Warren is here to speak on the issue of truth. And when we consider the things that God has given to us, not only His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone of the church, He's given us the foundations of the Word of God and the truth of God. But as the psalmist said in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so we have been given plenty of exhortation, warning, as believers in Jesus Christ, to guard the truth, to stand upon the truth, to know the truth, and to proclaim the truth. So with that in mind, I want to thank the Lord so much for the time that we've spent already last night and this morning in first service with Warren. And so please, if you will, welcome Warren Smith.
There's a couple of glasses of water. That's okay. Good morning. Well, keying off of what Charlie just said, Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And there's a new foundation that's being provided by the world, by the devil, and it's now in the church, where Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 3, Jesus Christ is our foundation. He is the cornerstone. There's a new way of looking at the foundation that the world wants us to accept and says if we do, the whole world can get out of this mess we're in, but we have to all do it together as one. So instead of the foundation being Jesus Christ alone, it's the idea that we are all God, we are all Christ. All of humanity is the body of God, the body of Christ. That's the new foundation. It's what Oprah teaches. It's what I learned and taught in the New Age, and it's now coming into the church in places like books like The Shack, and I talked at length last fall when I was here about Jesus calling. Now, are Christian men and women saying this directly? No, but they're inserting it into their novels and their teachings by using new Bible versions, and an example would be in Jesus Calling on page 199, the Jesus that Sarah Young, the author, is listening to, says, I am above all as well as in all. In The Shack, the Jesus of The Shack says, God, who is the ground of all being, dwells in and around and through all things. In Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, he uses the New Century Version Bible, a fairly new Bible. And for Ephesians 4:6, he said, God rules everything, or he quotes, God rules everything, is everywhere, and is in everything. It's coming in different places in different ways. A pastor in Long Beach, California, who used to be an emergent pastor, used to be in the emerging church and saw that it wasn't right. I guess he saw something I did on YouTube and had me come down and talk to his little group. It was really an interesting time. And then maybe a couple months later, he sent me an email picture of a T-shirt. And the T-shirt said, I was an atheist until I realized I was God. And used to be we'd kind of smile or laugh at that, like, how ridiculous is that? But this is starting to really set in. It's starting to take hold. I coined a new word one day when I just was seeing so much of this stuff coming in. And it was based on the word evangelical, in, of, or according to the Gospels or the teaching of the New Testament, and the word gullible, easily cheated or tricked. And I came up with the word evangullible, easily tricked or cheated by teachers or teachings that purport to be biblical but are not. We're told in 2 Timothy 4:2-4, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We're starting to put up with a lot of stuff that we shouldn't. I guess one of the most disappointing things for me in regards to this book, Jesus Calling, is that I have yet to hear any major respected Christian leader say that this book is not right. I think the book is indefensible because I've never heard any major Christian leader say that the book is right and they've endorsed it. The only one I'm aware of is that Beth Moore, for like a fleeting second, had it on her Wednesdays with Beth show and flashed it up on the screen, and then it quickly disappeared. Obviously, somebody must have clued her in, or she read it, or whatever, but there's never been any comment about why that disappeared or whatever. It would be very powerful if, instead of an ex-New Ager saying, watch out for this book, somebody like Beth Moore or somebody that has that kind of an audience would warn people. I'm not going to repeat the talk that I gave here at that time. I think there's probably a CD from that conference that you could listen to. I did not have my book, Another Jesus Calling, which critiques that book, Jesus Calling, at length. I have those with me today. But the thing that's happened that I would like to update those of you that were at the conference and just in general, because this is the kind of thing that happens. In Sarah Young's book, she made a very huge point of saying that she was inspired by a book called God Calling. God Calling is a channeled New Age book that I had when I was in the New Age. It's spiritually dictated by a spirit calling itself Jesus. She said that the book was a treasure to her. She made it very clear in the introduction that it had inspired her to write the book Jesus Calling. This was my major first point in my book, and I covered it pretty completely. Thomas Nelson Publishers have new editions of her book that have now deleted all references to God Calling with no explanation. She said, Sarah Young said, that she had received messages from Jesus, that Jesus had given her these messages, and that she wanted to share them with people. All of her references to the word message or messages have been deleted by Thomas Nelson. They're gone. So this is what happens. I have noticed this before. When I wrote an article, it's now in booklet form, and I've got them back there, about Rick Warren's Daniel Plan, I basically said, why did we bring Dr. Oz, into the church to help the church get more healthy? Sure, he's probably a great cardiovascular surgeon, and the health program that he's introduced is probably fine. But he happens to be one of the major occultists out there. He's a huge New Age influence. When I saw that Rick Warren was using Dr. Oz and two other New Age doctors to bring into the church to help the church be more healthy, I went to Rick Warren's website at that time, several years back, and I saw that he had an interview with Dr. Oz, and then there was a link to Dr. Oz's website. So I clicked on that, went to Dr. Oz's website. The first thing I saw was, New York City, want to talk to the dead? Next Tuesday, Dr. Oz will be talking with John Edward, who will help the audience communicate with their dead loved ones. And Dr. Oz on the program said, so what can we do to help people make contact with the other side? There's lots of other things. Dr. Oz has endorsed a book by psychic Ainsley MacLeod. Dr. Oz's endorsement's on the front cover. There are 175 or more references to how to get your own spirit guide in that book. Before you get to chapter 1, there's like 40 references. Dr. Oz is into yoga, transcendental meditation, Reiki. He's a Sufi Muslim, which is a New Age sort of sect of the Muslim faith. This guy's like, you know, he seems like a really nice guy. But, you know, my wife and I were pretty nice people when we were in the New Age. But you can be sincere and you can be sincerely deceived. What is this guy doing in the church? It would be like, in the first century, it would be like the Apostle Paul, not to compare Rick Warren to the Apostle Paul, but it would be like the Apostle Paul having Simon the Sorcerer coming into the church to help the church be more healthy. Doesn't make any sense. We're not to eat at the devil's table. We're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Dr. Oz said that he matriculated at Oprah University. He was, you know, some things are like made in Japan, made in China. Dr. Oz was made by Oprah. And Oprah may be, again, a very nice, sincere person doing lots of really good things in the world. But in 1992, she had a woman by the name of Marianne Williamson on her program who had written a book called A Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. My book, The Light That Was Dark, From the New Age to Amazing Grace, was being edited at Moody Press at that time, warning about the Course in Miracles. The Course in Miracles is reputedly channeled from Jesus Christ to this modern day to help us get out of the crisis that we're in. And this Jesus that Marianne Williamson wrote about and that Oprah said on her program that Marianne Williamson's book about A Course in Miracles could help change the world. Oprah said, I like The Course in Miracles and Marianne Williamson's book so much that I bought 1,000 copies and I'm passing them out to everyone in the audience. And as I mentioned last fall, this Jesus of A Course in Miracles says a slain Christ has no meaning. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. No sin, no devil, but this is over three books, and interspersed are things about gratitude, forgiveness, love, peace, happiness. It's all kind of blended in. I knew it because I'd studied it, and I believed this stuff when I was in the New Age. Folks, this isn't tame, mild stuff. This is Antichrist. Antichrist is one who comes in the name of Christ but opposes Christ. All the things that I just mentioned to you are just the tip of the iceberg of what this false universal Christ that's making his way onto the world scene is saying. Years ago, in San Francisco, my wife and I went to this place called the Ghirardelli Chocolate Factory. They have really good ice cream, really good chocolate. We made our order and we were waiting as the numbers were being called. And the next number that was called was 666. And this voice goes, yes? And this guy sort of does a Frankenstein walk up to the counter. And everybody in the audience, or everybody in the ice cream place that day, had kind of a nervous twitter. It was like, yeah, you know, it was kind of funny, but it kind of wasn't. We are very uncomfortable when we start talking about Antichrist. But that's what Antichrist, that's who he is. He's the Jesus that came in through A Course in Miracles. He's the Jesus of Jesus calling. Because the Jesus of Jesus calling directly contradicts, in many places, the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus said, you'll recognize my voice. There's a stranger. You don't want to go with him. You'll recognize my sheep know my voice. But you know what? Some of the sheep have gotten very deceived. And Jesus said in Matthew 24:3-5, when asked by his disciples, what will be the sign of your return and the end of the world? And he said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Hello, Course in Miracles, Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey is probably the equivalent of John the Baptist for the New Age. She's brought in just about every possible false New Age teacher on her program. She's propelled so many books to number one status. Marianne Williamson's book, after that little introduction, this woman was unknown up to that point in 1992. Her book flew to number one on the New York Times bestseller list, stayed there for several months. Marianne Williamson just ran for Congress in California you probably have no trouble believing that, the way California is regarded. But, you know, what was used to be unique in California is now all over the place. There's a false Christ, and he's making his way onto the world scene in a hurry. It's accelerating because so many of us that were in the New Age, you know, I was a social worker. I had a lot of contact in my community. I used to spread the New Age teachings wherever I would go. We have so many people now. You'd be amazed if you knew that the CEO of this corporation used to be with a guru in India, or that this particular doctor, you know, has been very involved with transcendental meditation. And what all these different things, they look like they're different. You know, the guy that's into aliens coming here to save the earth, gurus, Shirley MacLaine, Oprah Winfrey, the bottom line is the same. And I delineated it in my book, False Christ Coming. Does anybody care what New Age leaders really have in store for the world and the church? It's the new foundation. Everybody can, you can have your Christianity, put it on this foundation. You can have your Buddhism, put it on this foundation, but you have to recognize, they say, that God is in everyone and everything. It's happening, and I've watched it leaching in. It's in the message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. God is present in all things. He says, oneness pervades everything you are and think and do. Chuck Smith in 1976, the late Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, founding father of Calvary Chapel, had a book in 1976 called The Soon-to-be-Revealed Antichrist. And people might say, well, soon-to-be-revealed, that was back in 1976, and I don't see him around anywhere. Believe me, he's around. You just don't see him. As a matter of fact, there's a false Christ named Maitreya who's been allegedly, by his acclaim, here since 1982. Full-page ads, you remember that, Charlie? Full-page ads all around the world. The Christ is here. He's waiting for humanity to call him forth. Maitreya, 1982. That's just 6 years after Chuck did that. The Course in Miracles came out 1 year before this book. It's all been, it's like those seeds that are in your garden that, you know, all of a sudden one day you've got like 100 dandelions and you don't know where they came from. It's like the tares in the parable of the wheat and the tares, where all of a sudden, like, wait a second, you know, we sowed a good field here. Where did all these tares come from? We're told that we're not to rip up these tares, but we're to expose them. We're to warn people about them. We're not to just, you know, oh, my grandma loves Jesus calling, and, you know, she's pretty sick, and it makes her feel good. You know, that isn't just the way it's supposed to go. You need to tell your grandma, hey, grandma, you know, I know that book makes you feel good, but do you remember Job had some false comforters? Just because it makes you feel good, it needs to be true. Truth is truth. And there is such a thing as a lie, and such a thing as a very deceptive lie. So we have a false Christ that's sneaking in. When I was in the Army, I was given an opportunity to, instead of going to Vietnam, to work at the White House in Washington, D.C. It was a very unique opportunity, but I had to pass a polygraph first. I had to tell the truth, and I was really scared because I was in a fraternity in college, and I was not a really great guy. We did a lot of bad things. And I'm going, oh, man, but I can't lie because this thing, bells will go off or whatever. Somehow or another, the touchy points that came up where he stopped it and asked me and we talked, I made it through. But a polygraph, you know, in most cases, I know there are some people maybe they can learn how to beat it, but it's very rare. It's a truth detector. And our Bible is a truth detector, but it's also a detector of lies. It's like, I didn't write a book about Jesus calling because, oh, I didn't like it and my opinion is. No, I compared it to Scripture. Everything needs to be compared to Scripture. Acts 17:11, the Bereans were commended because they searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. We're getting too lax. We're following people in the church. We're getting people that have reputations for being Bible teachers. We're getting mesmerized by them. But we were warned in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue. I'm watching some people that got established as Bible teachers, some pretty big names that you would recognize right away. coming up with some weird stuff these days, hearing from God that revival's coming. And anybody who says differently is one of the scoffers that the Bible warned about. Turn to the person on your left and say the scoffers are coming. Wait a second, that's not what the Bereans were commended for. We can be given information, just as I'm trying to provide you with some information, but you need to go back, check your Bible, see if what I'm saying is true. Take a look at the arguments that we have about Jesus' calling. You know, you don't just go, well, he said that, and, you know, Charlie, you know, and he are friends, so maybe, you know, I guess that's true. No, I think one of the most deceptive things that we've got going is that established Bible teachers in the church are taking the people that they've got with them, and they're taking them off the rails onto a sidetrack. It's like there's a switchman there, and they're going into some weird stuff. This revival that there's a drumbeat for, I believe, is going to be a false revival. I believe that the people that are involved in it, some of them were involved with Holy Laughter back at the beginning, and it's kind of like, we're back. You know, it's like it's the revival of Holy Laughter, and the Bible warns about lying, signs, and wonders. But you check it out. If all of a sudden there's a big revival going on, just pray. Lord, is this really from you? There is true revival, but Charlie, I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see it in these last days. It says things are going to wax worse and worse. And we're going to have, you know, deception. Jesus said deception would be the main sign. He didn't say revival is going to come. Why would we have revival with what's going on in the world today? We certainly can be encouraged, and we can come out of mistaken beliefs, and we can be encouraged in our faith, and we can have many revivals in our churches and stuff, but a big worldwide revival would most likely lead to some of these false teachings. I was at a computer repair parts place one day, and I think I was online, and I heard a bunch of people laughing, and what's going on? I went back over there and I said, what's so funny? And they said, tell him. So this guy says, well, he says, I went to the bank the other day and I wanted to make a payment at the bank. So I pulled some money out of the ATM. I went in to make my payment and they said, sorry, we can't accept your money. It's counterfeit. He said, wait a minute. He says, I just got this out of your ATM machine. Run the film. And they did. And there he was, pulling the money out, walking to the bank. I thought, what an amazing metaphor for what's going on. You would think that you could go to church, that you could listen to Christian leaders and get the truth, but what we're getting is counterfeit. I'm sorry, you know, I've got a booklet on the shack. If anybody really loves the shack and is devoted to the shack, take a booklet and just read some of the things that I've got in there. There are so many things weaved into the purpose-driven life. I wrote a book called Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Life. Rick Warren in that book said that Jesus said essentially that prophecy is none of your business. Hello? Prophecy is none of our business? He also used New Age leader Bernie Siegel, a doctor, a New Age doctor who has a spirit guide named George, to introduce the idea of hope and purpose. Does this mean that everything that Rick Warren's teaching is wrong? Of course not. But Harry Ironside, Charlie's got a whole shelf of books by this pastor that was at Moody Bible Church back in the 1930s. Here's what he says about when you mix truth and error. Error is like leaven, of which we read, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Truth mixed with error is equivalent to all error, except that it's more innocent looking and therefore more dangerous. God hates such a mixture. Any error or any truth and error mixture calls for definite exposure and repudiation. To condone such is to be unfaithful to God and His Word and treacherous to imperiled souls for whom Christ died. I have a friend who says, well, I just eat the meat and spit out the bones. Very dangerous. We're not to eat at the devil's table. People choke on those bones. Chicken Soup for the Soul, a series that sold something like 250 million copies of all the... I mean, there's probably a Chicken Soul for Calvary Chapel at El Paso by now. I mean, they've got a version for just about everything. It's written by Jack Canfield, who's a renowned New Age author. The very first Chicken Soup for the Soul book, on page 69... talks about the golden Christ that's within everyone. At the very beginning of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book is a quote by the father of the New Age movement, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. The first story is by a guy named Butterworth. Butterworth is the one that Oprah points to as one of her mentors in the Christian faith. She said that Eric Butterworth wrote that Jesus didn't come to teach us about his divinity, but about ours. Chicken Soup for the Soul is loaded with all sorts of stuff that nobody would really recognize. Teilhard de Chardin, opening quote, father of the New Age movement. And now we have a renowned Christian leader who isn't recognized by most people in the faith, but he's traveling around to the highest levels of every denomination with his new slant on faith. And he says that Pierre Teilhard de Chardin is 20th century Christianity's major voice. And he actually, and I think this is really important for me to read this, because I think this captures the tone of a lot of our Christian leadership today, where they think they're just like one step ahead of us. I know when I was in the New Age, if I sat next to one of you on a bus, and if you turned to me and said, do you love Jesus? I'd say, yeah, I sure do. And you'd go, oh, okay, he knows the Lord. And then I'd say, why don't you tell me about, you know, Jesus yourself? And then you would tell me about the gospel and about the Bible. And I would sit there as a New Ager and I would think, well, Charlie's a nice guy, but he doesn't quite get it. He just isn't quite there. He doesn't realize that God and Jesus are in everybody. Listen to what Leonard Sweet, in his book Aqua Church, this is a guy who's done conferences with Rick Warren, CDs with Rick Warren, workshops with Rick Warren. Rick Warren has been on the front cover of his book Soul Tsunami. In that book, Leonard Sweet said, in order to survive in the postmodern culture, you need to learn to speak out of both sides of your mouth. He says that in his book. Listen to what he says in Aqua Church. Well, wait a second, Warren. He quotes a hymn. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Now, what's your problem? This guy clearly is a believer. He wouldn't be quoting a hymn. Okay, let's look at what he says three lines later. He quotes the father of the New Age movement, Teilhard de Chardin. Let me just give you a couple quick examples of what Chardin teaches so you understand how serious this is. Chardin says, the cross still stands, but this is on one condition and one only, that it expand itself to the dimensions of a New Age. What I'm proposing to do is to narrow the gap between pantheism and Christianity by bringing out what one might call the Christian soul of pantheism, or the pantheistic aspect of Christianity. Or how about this one? I can be saved only by becoming one with the universe. Hello? You know, this is what I left. Now we've got a guy who's being revered by Christian leaders, talking at the highest levels about Teilhard de Chardin being 20th century Christianity's major voice. And here's the quote that Leonard Sweet has in his book right beneath that hymn. Christ is in the church in the same way as the sun is before our eyes. We see the same sun as our father saw, and yet we understand it in a much more magnificent way. That's exactly what we believed in the New Age. You guys just don't quite get it. Jesus is in everybody. God's in everybody. Leonard Sweet is doing exactly what he said he would do. He's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. Don't be put off when people go, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Jesus warned, many will say, Lord, Lord. But he says, I don't even know who you are. Depart from me. I say without flinching that Leonard Sweet is a wolf in wolf's clothing. He's not a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's a wolf in wolf. He is hidden in plain sight. The New Age has a saying, it says that the best method of concealment is the broadest publicity. The shack, the message, purpose-driven life, Leonard Sweet, it's coming right at everybody. And for whatever reason, the people that are being held up as our leaders don't seem to be recognizing or talking about this. 1 Corinthians 14:8, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? Or as an Englishman by the name of Burke said, for evil to prevail, good men only need do nothing. What happened in Germany? Adolf Hitler announced ahead of time what he was going to do, and people just didn't believe it, and he did it. It's unbelievable how much is known about what's going on through New Age sources and how much is not being talked about in the church. Charlie and your church are very unusual in that they would have a number of us come and do a conference about this or to have me as a speaker. You know, my phone's not ringing off the hook from churches that want to have me come and speak. As a matter of fact, some of the people that have tried to give their book, my book, Another Jesus Calling, to a friend who's reading Jesus Calling, have sent me emails saying, you know, I tried to give your book to a friend of mine, but they said, why doesn't Warren Smith get a life? He's demonic. I'm noticing that there's a testiness, there's an irritability, there's an anger that's rising up. Those of you who have talked to your friends that maybe are reading Jesus Calling, maybe have noticed like what my friend in Southern California noticed when she tried to talk to her friend of 25 years. She said, you know, there's some issues with this book, Jesus Calling. And her friend said, I don't want to hear it. Don't even go there. Persecution's coming in, and it's going to be coming from within the church probably as much as anywhere. And the thing that's interesting is that it's one Christian leader that I saw on a recent statement is saying the same thing. To her people, she's saying persecution's going to come from within the church. The scoffers and even really sincere Christians are going to say that revival is not coming. Those are the scoffers. Watch out for them. They're putting out warnings about us putting out warnings. The devil's always kind of like one step ahead, it seems. But he's not, because everything you need to know is in the Bible. It's sufficient. You don't need to have a voice from the Lord telling you something new. New truths are not going to happen. New revelations aren't going to happen, but that's what the devil wants you to believe, that in this state of emergency that we're in, we need A Course in Miracles. We need an Oprah Winfrey to help us really get our life together. We need a Rick Warren to tell us what our purpose is and to bring everybody together under the tent of unity. I really believe that Rick Warren is the CEO of the apostate church. I have seen every point that I made in my book to try to, and I did it with love, I did it with kindness. I just said, you know, you've got an awful lot of stuff in there that overlaps with the New Age. And all of a sudden, I've got every one of my points being refuted. And I guess the most amazing thing was when there was a civil forum where McCain and Obama were at Saddleback Church. At the end of that, I don't know if any of you remember this, but Rick Warren stepped forward and said, you know, folks, we need to stop demonizing one another. We need to be more civil. 2 weeks prior to that, his chief apologist from Saddleback Church had gone online and called me a traumatized ex-New Ager with a paranoid mindset. Speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You got to be careful. You got to look at the whole picture, not just what's being said in the moment. There used to be a show when I was a kid, a long time ago. It was called To Tell the Truth. They would have three people. One of them was the true person. The other two were imposters. And they would be asked questions by the panel person. And then the panel person would have to guess who's the true. So it would be like, my name is Jesus Christ. Next one would say, my name is Jesus Christ. Next one, my name is Jesus Christ. And ask questions. At the end of the program, the guy would say, well, I think it's number two. And then the moderator would say, will the real Jesus Christ please stand up? What's happening in the world and what the Bible tells us is going to happen is that a false Christ is going to step up saying he's the real Christ. And those who don't agree are going to be antichrist. Isn't it interesting that Oprah's Jesus says that those who do not subscribe to his teachings are antichrist? So what I'm telling you and what you would believe from the Bible will be considered by them, if they ever get the power and they're on their way, being antichrist. With all that said, we have God's word. And in Galatians 2:9, it talks about the right hand of fellowship. In Psalm 144, it talks about the right hand of falsehood. We're being given a lot of false hands of fellowship, or of falsehood, that are being given in the guise of fellowship. A lot of people love the shack. You know, a lot of people pass it out to their friends, thinking it was great. Jesus Calling on the cover, those of you who have had that book or have seen it, there's a hand reaching out. It's the right hand of falsehood, but it looks like it's supposed to be Jesus reaching out to you saying, you too, get your pencil out, get a piece of paper, because I want to talk to you. No warning about testing the spirits. As a matter of fact, the Jesus of Jesus' calling says, you need to learn how to discern. Ask my Spirit what's true and what's not. Wait a second. If that's not the true Jesus, you're going to ask a seducing spirit whether it's true or not? 1 John 4:1 is a whole different ballgame. They have to confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that he's the Son of God. Jesus said, I've told you these things ahead of time so that you won't be offended when they happen. He's not telling us these things. I'm not telling these things to make you feel bad on a Sunday morning. He was preparing us for what's coming down very, very fast, exponentially fast. So what does the Bible say about truth? Okay, we've gone over deception, and those of us that have been asked to kind of look into these areas and try to warn the church, you know, and we covered this in the conference, but what does the Bible say about truth? And I really recommend, get your concordance out and just one day just go through and just look up, see what the Bible says about truth. John 1:17, Jesus Christ brought grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All God's works are done in truth. Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. God's word is not the word of men, it's the word of God. The message is the word of men. Eugene Peterson sat down at home and rewrote the Bible. How dare he? Why have so many well-known Christian leaders endorsed his book? Let me see if I can just give you an example of the message and why I have such a problem with it. Here's an example. On the cover of the Shack, front cover, Eugene Peterson, the author of The Message, says that this book is comparable to John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Front page endorsement. So I thought that was interesting. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the Shack is a cunningly devised fable. 2 Peter 1:16, for we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Let's look at the message. 2 Peter 1:16, we weren't, you know, just wishing on a star when we laid the facts out before you regarding the powerful return of our Master Jesus Christ. Cunningly devised fables has been paraphrased to say just wishing on a star. Jiminy Cricket has just taken over, and the sharpest of two-edged sword revelation of what the Shack is, a cunningly devised fable, has been eliminated, and Peterson's right on the front cover of that book. I really wish somebody had written a book on the message, because I think a lot of the men who are using it, and women, and a lot of the endorsements that are on that book, I think you'd see them disappear quickly. It's unbelievable. In the Lord's Prayer, instead of in earth as it is in heaven, in the message, it's as above, so below. Google that sometime. It's the key to all magic and all mysteries. I knew the phrase when I was in the New Age, as above, so below. Somebody actually contacted Eugene Peterson when the book first came out, when the message first came out, and said, did you know that that's a New Age saying? And he said that Peterson replied, if I had known that, I wouldn't have put it in there. That was like about 20 years ago. He didn't ever take it out. You know, Jeremiah 9:3, he said, there are those who are not valiant for the truth. Eugene Peterson and many of our Christian leaders don't seem to be valiant for the truth. They want convenient truth. They want compromised truth. They want the Bible to say what they want it to say. Rick Warren used 15 different Bible versions in The Purpose-Driven Life. Guess what the predominant Bible, if you want to call it that, that he used? The Message. I have a friend who another friend that's in the Celebrate Recovery sort of comparable 12-step program at Saddleback Church. And he said that the message is the Bible that the quotes are from. There's a new Bible out called The Voice. You can find it on Bible Gateway along with all the other Bibles. 2 Peter 3:18 in the King James says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now from The Voice. Instead, grow in grace and in the true knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the Anointed One, to whom be all glory now and until the coming of the new age. Right in our faces. It didn't even say, you know, into and through and forever in the new age. It said he's coming until the new age. Who's going to be here in the new age? The universal Christ. The universal Christ is very clear that the Master Jesus is one of his disciples. And he'll be one of the angels coming with him. Jesus is being reinvented, redefined, revised. There's even a book out by a Christian author and hailed by other Christian leaders. And he talks about re-Jesusing. It's like a verb, re-Jesusing. Unbelievable. God's truth endureth forever. Psalm 117, 1 and 2. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. We're to speak the truth not just from the mouth, but from the heart. Psalm 15, 1 and 2. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. Many honor me with their mouth, their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's truth in the heart. It doesn't mean anything to me when Rick Warren's on television, you know, repeating John 14, 6. I've seen too much of what else he's teaching. This man is not valiant for the truth. I have a friend who has been listening to him on the radio. Rick Warren's all over the radio now. And he said, you know, the sermons are pretty good. I said, I don't doubt it. I said, what about the Daniel plan? My friend read the little booklet on the Daniel plan, and he said, I don't believe it. I can't believe that Rick Warren is involved with a major occultist, New Ager like Mehmet Oz. Dr. Daniel Amen, one of the three New Age doctors that's involved in this Daniel plan, describes himself as a Christian, but introduces in one of his books Curtain Kriya Hinduistic Yoga Meditation. He says, just repeat Satanama over and over and over. Satanama. I wrote it down on a piece of paper. S-A-T-A-N, drew a line, A-M-A. Satan and the A-M-A. I said, what is this, some kind of a joke? Satan and the American Medical Association? No, this is just a coincidence. But, you know, when you come right down to it, what these three doctors are involved in is satanic New Age false belief coming from the Antichrist teachings of this New Age that's trying to provide a new foundation. We're to desire the truth in our innermost being. Psalm 51:6, behold, thou desireth truth in the inward parts. We're to speak the truth in love. Charlie's mentioned this a couple times. If we're to be anything, we're to be love to these people that we're talking to. You don't go and get a copy of my book and say, here, read this, you know, or hit them over the head with it. You say, I love you, and I'm concerned about you because there was this guy that spoke at the church, and he said that a lot of this stuff in this Jesus Calling book he was familiar with from his days in the New Age. Would you be willing to look at this book and maybe we could talk about it a little bit? 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul said, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. The church has become largely ignorant of the devices that Satan's using. It would really be good for you guys to be aware of Jesus Calling. It's the number one best-selling Christian book as I speak. 10 million copies, 26 different languages. Unbelievable. Can we ask Sarah Young questions? Sure, through her publicist on an email, if we're lucky. She's got Lyme's disease, a number of illnesses, and unfortunately they say she just can't really get on the radio or be interviewed or anything else. Interestingly, God Calling, the book that she patterned her book after, the two listeners were anonymous. Nobody could ask them any questions either. Pretty convenient. There's Jesus Calling for kids. There's Jesus devotionals. There's greeting cards. It's a multi-million dollar industry. In a court of law, we're told you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. It's perjury. If you don't, you can go to prison. In today's church, you can weave in things that aren't true. And the consequence for not telling the truth completely is that you become a multimillionaire and an acclaimed Christian celebrity. Folks, this is what Isaiah called, you know, when evil is called good and good evil. You need to be aware of some of the things that are going on. It's not negative. Remember, Jesus said, "Behold, I've told you these things ahead of time, so you won't be offended when they happen." He also said, and I'm sorry for anybody that's new here, I'm not trying to scare you, but there's a cost to the Christian faith. Jesus said that the world is not going to like you believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, he said, they'll hate you. They'll persecute you. You don't hear this on a typical altar call. There's a cost, and we're starting to see it. And it's an opportunity for us to really stand. Again, in Proverbs 24, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I'm really grateful that you have a pastor who's preparing you and has prepared you for the things that we're talking about and for the days ahead, because I think we're going to be looking at a huge portion of the church that's going to get all wrapped up in a false revival, and they're not going to look at what's really going on. This is the devil's way. Get you sidetracked over here instead of looking at the reality of how Oprah continues to spread this gospel and how the New Age has taken hold in the church, and you've got people like Leonard Sweet commending the father of the New Age movement. Someday he's going to be hailed as Leonard Sweet could be hailed as a pioneering father of the true Christian faith. And we're watching the founder of Calvary Chapel kind of get lost in the dust now that he's passed away. There's new elements that have moved in and are expressing themselves within Calvary Chapel central headquarters. And I spoke recently at a place where a Calvary Chapel across town had four shelves of Jesus Calling and the Daniel Plan. So you can't really just say Calvary Chapel, and it has to kind of, I guess back in the old days, Charlie, Calvary Chapel probably was pretty universally respected, and now even you guys are really looking askance at some of the things that are going on in your own denomination. We're to worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm feeling like I need to just say this right now. Psalm 39:5 is a direct refutation of God being in everyone and everything. It says, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Higher self, God self, Christ self, true self, golden essence, vanity. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. In John 2:24-25, Jesus is recorded, it says that he did not commit himself to men because he knew what was in man. Well, if he knew that God was in man, that wouldn't make any sense. He knew it was in man, and it's like, we need the Lord, we need the truth, we need to hold on to the truth. We're to serve him in sincerity and truth. God's truth preserves us. We're to be men and women of the truth. Exodus 18:21, we're to walk in the truth. The Bible encourages us to warn others when they err from the truth. James 5:19. God will judge the world with his righteousness and truth. God's truth endureth forever. Psalm 117:1-2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. The only thing that we can hang on to is our Lord and Savior, because he is the truth, and his truth is recorded in the Bible. And let me tell you, I hear so many things about, well, you know, the Bible, you know, it's kind of old, it needs a little bit of rearranging, a little bit of updating. I like the message. The Bible skewered the New Age and the deception I was involved in. As a matter of fact, when I was reading it for the first time on the floor of a bookstore in Hermosa Beach in Johanna Michelson's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, when my wife and I were being oppressed and our New Age teachings weren't able to do anything about it because we were taught that evil isn't real. We were saying things like, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. That's the Course of Miracles Jesus. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. Sarah Young's Jesus says, come to me with your defenses down. Ephesians 6 says, put on the full armor of God, stand fast against the wiles of the devil. Gird yourselves with truth. It's the Bible upside down. Jesus said, if you continue in his word, you shall know the truth. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and then you shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. Again, people can be great Bible teachers, but they need to endure. Those who endure to the end will be saved. Those who continue in my word. Not those who preach really good for 20 years and then abort it and go into the New Age or go into these false teachings. Don't be impressed by anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. And Charlie said it, you check out everything he does, you check out everything a guest speaker like myself says. In Jeremiah, it talked about how truth was largely perished from the land. And in Isaiah, truth was no longer highly regarded. It said, truth has fallen in a street. The name of God is mentioned, but not in truth. Isaiah 48:1. Hear ye, O house of Jacob, which are called by my name of Israel, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. I have a friend. She's really sweet. She said, you know, the plumber said, God bless you when he left. I guess he's a Christian. I said, maybe. We used to say, God bless you in the New Age. Islam probably says the same thing. I was in an airport in Edmonton. Which province is that? Alberta. Is that Alberta? Edmonton, Alberta? And there was a woman standing there, and I was reading a book, and she said to the clerk, do you have the book, The Secret? The Secret is a New Age book. And he gave it to her, and then I just couldn't help myself. I went over and I said, excuse me, but I said, I'm just curious. Why did you want to look at that book? She said, all my friends told me that it was really good. I said, do you have any particular belief or religion? She says, yeah, I'm a Muslim. I said, are you a Sufi Muslim, a liberal kind of Muslim, or are you Orthodox? She says, I'm Orthodox. And she wasn't wearing a head covering, and she said there were Orthodox Muslims that didn't wear head coverings in Toronto. I said, can I show you something? Because Orthodox Jews, Muslims, and Christians have a sovereign God. They do not have this idea that God is in everyone and everything. I said, can I show you something? So I took her to page 164 in The Secret. It says, you are God in a physical body. She looked at it, and she went, oh! I said, do you want to get this book? She goes, no. And she put it back on the shelf. And then we had a good conversation. I told her how I'd been in the New Age, told her about the gospel. You know, she was very receptive. Not necessarily, you know, like everything I was saying, but she was very polite. There's opportunities where we can talk to people, but we need to know what the devil's up to so that we can have these conversations. There's so many missed opportunities. Right now, people that are reading Jesus Calling are just ripe for conversations with us to help them understand what deception is and what's going on and what's coming into the church. So people are putting their faith in friends and brothers. My aunt's been a Christian for 35 years. She wouldn't give me a book that wasn't Christian. So I read The Shack and I really loved it. Or Jesus Calling or Purpose Driven Life or whatever. We're told in Isaiah 5:4 that there are wild grapes that have come out of this vineyard. And what more could the Lord have done to make this vineyard productive? But he got wild grapes instead of true crop. Jeremiah talks about degenerate plants. Jesus talked about while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. And then we have this thing in Psalm 144:11. This really jumped out at me. I hope it impresses you. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. How many in the church are reaching out to us in the name of fellowship with a lot of these bogus books like The Message and Purpose Driven Life or whatever? Yeah, but there's some good stuff in there. Remember what Harry Ironside said, the best method of deception is to mix truth with error. The devil's not stupid. What did Jesus do in the wilderness when he was tempted? It is written. What is the devil saying today? It is rewritten. And he whips out The Message or one of these other Bibles, The Voice. In closing, we need to have a response to this deception that's coming in. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 15. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, don't take a quantum leap with quantum physics. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. I like that old gospel song that says, hold on, keep your eye on the prize, hold on. 3 John 1:1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Let us say to the Lord, as David did in Psalms 119:30 and Psalm 26:3, that we've chosen the way of truth and have walked in thy truth. We don't want unity at the expense of truth. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. We're seeing that division in the church now. It's about to break out in a much bigger way in the coming days, I believe. I'm feeling it. A lot of us that are making these warnings are really, we're feeling it. They do not want what we're saying to have credibility, because what we're saying is you don't need the message, you don't need the voice, you need God's holy word. That's my testimony. The word has just read clear and true through the years, exposing everything as we go along. And my publisher, Moody Press, with The Light That Was Dark back in 1992, said, what a shame. You've just missed the timing. The New Age is passé. No, the New Age has done nothing but grow exponentially through the years. It's just that the warnings have dropped off. Now it's being called the new spirituality, the new gospel, and even the new age by some. A respected Bible teacher once stated, it's better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It's better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with the multitude. Gideon's story is not one that strength is in numbers. That's the broad way. It's the narrow way, holding on to Jesus and his truth. Final prayer. Psalm 25, 4-5, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 86, 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Amen. If I had my way, I probably would still be in the New Age. My wife, bless her, had a desire for truth. Even in the New Age, she always prayed for the truth. She wanted truth. And I believe because Jesus is the truth, he came into our life. I would follow her around and go, anybody that reads The Light That Was Dark will see it. I would follow her around and go, really, honey? You don't think the Jesus of A Course in Miracles is the same Jesus? No, I don't. And I think that the Jesus of the Bible is the one that we need to follow. So I went and studied it out. And I said, you know, you're right. It's an amazing Savior that we have. He's told us everything we need to know. Don't buy it. When people like Bill Hybels and a lot of other Christian leaders are saying, you need to hear the voice of Jesus to be a true believer. If Jesus wants to speak to you, he can and will. And he does it in lots of different ways besides an audible voice. But beware of the seducing spirits that were there in the New Age that are coming in through Jesus' calling that want to lead you through the voice away from the Bible into new revelations and to new truth. God bless you guys. Thanks for having me. It's been great being back here. Thank you, Charlie. And I guess you'll come up and close.
Let's stand. I've had the opportunity to keep my ear on things that are happening, certainly worldwide, particularly in Israel, and we need to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as the Scriptures encourages. But as far as our nation is concerned, there are a lot of things that are happening with the government, the present administration, as well as the Department of Justice, in kowtowing to the intimidation techniques of groups like the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, and in particular the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that has now encouraged the government to place more scrutiny upon the churches. Now, if you study this carefully, you realize that this is all against the Constitution of the United States, and against especially that of the freedom of religion. Well, the scrutiny is that they're going to keep an ear on us to make sure that we're not preaching politics or anything that has to do with political issues. But I'm here to tell you that when we speak about abortion, we are speaking not from a political position, but from a theological position. Because the Word of God says that God is about life and for life and the protection of life. If we speak on the issue of same-sex marriage, we are not speaking about things that are political. We are speaking of things that are theological, because the Word of God tells us that God has established the standard for marriage very clearly. And we could go on in all of these issues. Why am I bringing that up now? Because it's an issue of truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Our country is bound today because we've gotten away from truth. I don't care how many microphones they might have on me, but this pulpit will always preach the truth. And whoever comes and stands at this pulpit. And so people will say, "But you're going to become smaller. You know, you kind of have to soften the message." No, don't have to do that, because the truth sets us free. So when we talk about revival and what counterfeit revivals there may be, there's one revival that never fails. That is the revival of each individual heart that seeks after the Lord God diligently and faithfully in the Word of God, and that worships the Lord in spirit and in truth. So continue to see that and hold on to that, and know that we can counter the idea that we don't have to follow some counterfeit revival, but God will bring revival to every individual heart, as we should have every day. I want to be revived every day. I don't want to be revived just at one big, you know, party time. Besides, that one big party time is for us when we get to heaven and be with the Lord. Forever and ever and ever and ever. So my encouragement to you is, it is important what we're doing. It was important for Warren to be here and to give us a refresher course on what we learned back in November on a lot of these issues. But we have to remember that in the last days, perilous times have come. They're here now. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. I want to leave you with the words of Jesus. I know I'm going to take a little bit extra time. That's all right. Cafe will warm you food for just a minute, or wherever you're going to go eat. But these are the words of Jesus. And these are important to hear, because He's saying it, and not Warren and not me. Jesus said in Luke 21, "There shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Well, we're living in those times now. Have you taken the time to look at the news and to see what's going on all over the world and what's happening? But then He says this, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass," listen, He says, "then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Your redemption is drawing near, so look up and be encouraged. This is about encouraging us to stand on the truth of the Word of God. And lastly, at the end of this passage, which is verses 34 to 36, Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting or drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day comes upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always," notice, "watch and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Watch and pray, so that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Well, the Lord said, "I'm coming for you. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." So let's be accounted worthy to escape these things that are coming on the world and be with Jesus That's the truth. You haven't heard it first, you heard it all the time. I'm getting started. I'm going to preach now for an hour, if you don't mind. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace, wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, all things held together by God's love, grace, and mercy, and truth. For those who need prayer, please feel free. We'll have some people up here in front to pray with you. Please take some time to visit Warren's table. He's got a lot of good product, especially Another Jesus Calling, because that's the book that really answers the questions about the book Jesus Calling. And we encourage you to get that. He's got some specials, so you got to ask him about that. And we want him to go home with less product than when he came. So a lighter trip back home. So help him out with that. Oh, by the way, the pamphlets, do you still have those pamphlets? The pamphlets? The two small pamphlets? I read them last night, and I can tell you this. They're very, very quick and to the point, but they really delineate the problems that we're having when we allow people to come into the church that do not stand for the truth of the Word of God. So I'd encourage you to get those. They're very inexpensive. So let's sing, and let's have a good fellowship with each other today, and then we look forward to seeing you once again, should the Lord tarry. God bless you.